Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you in this sin-troubled world through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of God that we consider for our enlightenment is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning with verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. So far as word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, dear fellow redeemed. Having embarked on another new year, as we look down the road of life, do we have reason to look to the future with confidence and hope, or with grave concerns, causing fear and trepidation? Certainly, there are a number of areas of life that could point to things that would give us concern. However, no matter what we face in the future, we don't have to be afraid. Because the sure word of God has promised us he's always going to be with us to help us no matter what we face in life. In regard to the most important aspect of life, namely the spiritual conditions found in the world today, we'd have to say that we have good reason to be concerned. Consider the trend of things in the religious, moral, and social areas of life. In the religious realm, we find that there are churches that continue to spiritually abuse their members when they neglect to focus their attention on the gospel of God's forgiveness and the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and instead spend a lot more time on addressing political, economic, ecological, and things of this life. In the religious teachings of a vast majority of churches today, we find that there's a mixture. There's a mixture of what you find in the Bible and what comes out of the flawed human thinking of man. Flawed human science, flawed human psychology, flawed social and moral ideals. And while the opinion polls say that there's still a number of people in our society today believe in a God, yet when you look at folks in our society, you find that the vast majority of them are not looking to God's word for a guide to lead them in their living in this world. As a result of the fast-growing spiritual and moral bankruptcy in our society, marriages are breaking down. The nuclear family is fast becoming an endangered unit. Sexual Immorality is pervasive in our society, and human conflicts, they're flaring up all over the place. People's personal lives, ethnic, religious, and national circles. The doleful consequence of these conditions of life are heartache and guilt, pain and suffering, disease and physical death, and in many cases, it's spiritual and eternal death. These and other grievous conditions of our day and age are certainly a fulfillment of the prophecy that Isaiah foretold when he said, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." This darkness is not talking about some kind of a physical eclipse of the sun. It's talking about, rather, a spiritual, moral, and social eclipse with many people living in darkness. This darkness involves ignorance and rebelliousness. The mind of the unregenerate unbeliever is grossly darkened concerning the truths about God, life, and mankind. Some examples of the sin-darkened minds of man are the following. God, he is whomever and whatever you make him out to be. All religious beliefs are just a kind of a human development of culture. Man is a part of the animal kingdom, and he has the right and the authority to establish the laws of the jungle. Parents, you just leave the religious matter of your children to themselves and let them decide what they want to believe when they grow up. And if they've got troubles, take them to the Freudian psychiatrist. And man, he is basically good, but not evil. So when you're dealing with those criminals, those lawbreakers, you just call upon them to draw deep down inside themselves from that inner goodness. And then they will be law-abiding citizens. What do you think? Sounds like darkness, doesn't it? While such destructive ways of thinking make the prospect of the future rather dark and bleak and gloomy, yet there is a ray of hope that we have reason to look to the future with confidence. Isaiah speaks of that light breaking through the gloom of night and dispelling despair. Isaiah declares, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." That glorious, radiant light is our Savior, Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we hear the evangelist telling us certain wonderful truths about Jesus, whose birthday we just recently celebrated. Testifies of Jesus' preexistence before he became man, how that in eternity he was true God, who was the Word. This is kind of a strange concept when you refer to someone as being the Word. The Word of God incarnate, but it's very significant because it's telling us that Jesus came to reveal the wonderful truths of God. Hidden truths, just like what the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians. The mystery of the gospel of Christ. With Jesus being the divine revealer, John goes on to speak of Jesus as the light of mankind, who sheds light in the sin-darkened world and enables people, the walking dead, to come to life I'm not talking about the zombies. I'm talking about spiritually dead. Jesus also testified about himself, I am the light of the world. And that great and glorious light wasn't just going to be shining upon the Jews in Palestine of his day. It was going to be shining upon the Gentiles of every race, nation, and tribe in every generation of time. And Jesus speaks about his worldwide mission. He says, I've come as the light into the world. And whoever they are, wherever they live, whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, as the light of the world, Jesus revealed himself as one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He made known who the true God is. It's not a matter of, well, whoever you think he may be is God. No, he said, your God, your maker, your redeemer, and your sanctifier is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three-in-one God. He alone is God. Jesus also revealed to us that everything recorded in the Bible, everything, is God's inerrant, inspired, absolute truth. Now that's, you know, there would be a lot of people in our day and age that would really kind of, absolute truth, huh? Yes, absolute truth. And it's unchangeable. It doesn't change with the times. It always stands as the truth till the very end. Any kind of teaching that you hear, that you read, and if it's not found in the Bible, it's not of God, but rather the product of man's flawed thinking. This Bible that God has handed down to us is lifted up by Jesus as a beacon that shines as a glorious light to dispel the darkness in this world. It is the only source and norm for faith and life. So we're not going to be going to the store, the bookstore, for self-help books. And when we've got troubles for our life, we're going to look to God's Word. That's going to give us that sure guidance. Now, I'm not saying that self-help books, if it's founded on Scripture, that's fine. But a lot of times, it's not. Shedding light on the origins of the world and man, Jesus confirmed the belief that God made the world with his almighty power, with his word, saying, let there be, and it came into existence in the space of just six normal 24-hour days. Now, you may have grown up with that. Don't take it for granted, because you can find in many different Christian churches pastors saying, oh, you know, those scientists, they certainly have got something there. And there must be something to this evolutionary kind of process. And so they try to fit it into Scripture. But it's like taking a square hole and taking a round ball, and you can't fit it in there. No, God has revealed to us he made the world in a space of a week. Man, he's not a part of the animal kingdom. He is the chiefmost of God's creation. As for the guiding light of godliness of living, Jesus reaffirmed the Ten Commandments as being God's unchangeable moral standard for our life, for our lifestyles. God's standard of morality doesn't change with the whims and the fancies of society. And there's a good reason for that, because God's will is good and right, and it is a great blessing to us when we observe that will in our life. You deviate from his will and you run into all kinds of problems. When Jesus was clarifying the meaning of the divine precepts of the Ten Commandments, he left no room for doubt that God's commandments to love your neighbor means everybody, including your enemy. Unlike the radical Islam movement, Christianity is not a teaching where we're told to kill our enemies. We're to love, befriend them, and help them. I realize that in this world that there are times where we have to fight the enemy. That's a sad reality of this world. But whenever we can, we do what we're able to in helping our enemy. Jesus also upheld the sacred institution of marriage that he established at the beginning of time for the blessing of mankind. And concerning this unchangeable will of God, Jesus made it clear that marriage is made up of a man and a woman, and it's only when they're united together as husband and wife that they live together and experience the joys and pleasures of the sexual union. And this is a marriage that is to be lifelong, unbroken. Although Jesus shed light on these and other divine precepts of God, the inborn state of man makes him spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus didn't just come to clarify the moral precepts of God. He came to give us life. He came to give us spiritual life. Finally, eternal life. The sun, of course, we don't see much of it today, but when it shines, it's something very special, needful. We need that sunlight to warm the earth and cause life to spring forth. If you don't have the sun, if it were to be blocked out, life would cease to exist. And so also in a spiritual way, the light of God's saving word that shines forth from the Bible gives us life. Give me an example. We talked about marriage. And we know that there's no perfect marriage for the simple fact that we're sinners. And we will invariably hurt one another in marriage by what we say or do or fail to say or do. But we have a Savior who has taken away the guilt of our sins. And that wonderful forgiving love warms our hearts and enables us to forgive our spouse when we've been wronged or injured. When we look at Christ and how he lived his life for us, you know, self-giving, self-sacrificing, putting others before himself, we have a wonderful model to follow in our marriage. And this can make for a loving, meaningful, and lasting marriage when we find life in Christ. Isaiah prophesied of that wondrous light coming to this earth to dispel the gloom of night. And, you know, the joy that we experience, you know, first of all, it's a joy of knowing we're forgiven. It's the joy of knowing that, you know, when we come to the latter days of our life, we know that we're going to go to heaven. Because Jesus paid the price, opened wide the gates of heaven, gave to us the gift of eternal life, which we receive through faith. But, you know, aside from that wonderful joy that we experience in that, there's also the joy of seeing others brought into the kingdom of light. Isaiah was writing about that when he says, The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall nurse at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. People of every race, nation, tribe will be gathered in to the kingdom of light. As the light of God's saving grace shines forth in the Christian church and in the Christian life. Now, in the area that you're living in, you have quite a mix of folks who come from all over the world, many different kinds of background, cultures. That light is intended for them, not just for you. Isaiah foretells the coming of the promised light, Jesus Christ, saying to you, arise and shine. And he later says to the people that the people will come to your light. God wants us to let our light shine. Jesus spoke of that in one of his sermons when he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You let your light shine just simply by living a Christian life. And people can see there's a difference. You know, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you conduct your life. And they can see the light of Christ shining through your life. But it's also talking about how we are to testify of our beliefs. With the present world falling deeper and deeper into the eclipse of spiritual darkness, the need is ever greater for every Christian to let their light shine in the world. That means, in a very loving way, expose darkness. Now, that's not very popular, is it? Who are you to judge? But that is the way in which they're going to be able to finally see the light of God's saving truth when the darkness has been exposed, and to help people to see how destructive it is. And then when they come to that knowledge, then they're ready to hear about their Savior. And you comfort them in the knowledge of God's full and free forgiveness through faith in Christ. So as we embark in another year, we have every reason to look to the future with confidence and hope. May our hearts and minds ever be nurtured through God's word so that we grow in knowledge and faith, so that that light shines even more brightly in our hearts and in our lives, and let it shine. Let it shine before others that you come into contact with. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.